Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Ekadasau.
Ekadasau.
That's the one on the board? No. Okay. What about Mataya? Oh, okay. Mataya.
Mataya.
Vishlatan.
Vishlatan.
Nivya.
Nivya.
Vyapetam.
Vyapetam.
Nirapatrapam.
Nirapatrapam.
Kridantam.
Kridantam.
Anugayantam.
Anugayantam.
Hasantam.
Hasantam.
Anayantike.
Anayantike.
Mataya Vishlatan Nivya.
Mataya Vishlatan Nivya.
Vyapetam Nirapatrapam.
Vyapetam Nirapatrapam.
Kridantam Anugayantam.
Kridantam Anugayantam.
Hasantam Anayantike.
Hasantam Anayantike.
Mataya Vishlatan Nivya.
Mataya Vishlatan Nivya.
Vyapetam Nirapatrapam.
Vyapetam Nirapatrapam.
Kridantam Anugayantam.
Kridantam Anugayantam.
Hasantam Anayantike.
Hasantam Anayantike.
Ekada.
Ekada.
Once upon a time, Asau,
this Ajamil,
Vanam Yata,
went to the forest,
Pitri,
of his father,
Sandesha,
the order,
Krit,
carrying out,
Dvijaha,
the Brahmana,
Adyaya,
Adyaya,
collecting,
Tata,
Tata,
from the forest,
Avritta,
returning,
Falapushpa,
fruits and flowers,
Samit Kushan,
two kinds of grasses,
known as Samit and Kusha,
Dadarsha,
Sa,
Kaminam,
very lusty.
Kanchit,
someone. Shudram, a fourth class man, a Shudra. Saha, along with. Bhujishaya, an ordinary maidservant or prostitute. Pitva, after drinking. Cha, also. Madhu, nectar. Maitreyam, made of the soma flower. Mada, by intoxication. Aghurnita, moving. Netraya, her eyes. Mataya, intoxicated. Vishlatan Nivya, whose dress was slackened. Vyapetam, fallen from proper behavior. Nirapatrapam, without fear of public opinion. Kridantam, engaged in enjoyment. Anughayantam, singing. Hasantam, smiling. Anaya, with her. Antike, close by. Translation. Once this Brahmana, Ajamil, following the order of his father, went to the forest to collect fruit, flowers, and two kinds of grass called Samit and Kusha. On the way home, he came upon a Shudra, a very lusty fourth-class man, who was shamelessly embracing and kissing a prostitute. The Shudra was smiling, singing, and enjoying as if this were proper behavior. Both the Shudra and the prostitute were drunk. The prostitute's eyes were rolling in intoxication, and her dress had become loose. Such was the condition in which Ajamil saw them. Purport. While traveling along the public way, Ajamil came upon a fourth-class man and a prostitute, who are vividly described here. Drunkenness was sometimes manifest even in bygone ages, although not very frequently. In this age of Kali, however, such sin is to be seen everywhere, for people all over the world have become shameless. Long ago, when he saw the scene of the drunken Shudra and the prostitute, Ajamil, who was a perfect Brahmana, was affected. Nowadays, such sin is visible in so many places, and we must consider the position of a Brahmachari student who sees such behavior. For such a Brahmachari to remain steady is very difficult unless he is extremely strong in following the regulative principles. Nevertheless, if one takes to Krishna consciousness very seriously, he can withstand the provocation created by sin. In our Krishna consciousness movement, we prohibit illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating, and gambling. In Kali Yuga, a drunk, half-naked woman embracing a drunk man is a very common sight, especially in the Western countries, and restraining oneself after seeing such things is very difficult. Nevertheless, if, by the grace of Krishna, one adheres to the regulative principles and chants the Hare Krishna mantra, Krishna will certainly protect him. Indeed, Krishna says that his devotee is never vanquished. Konteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. Therefore, all the disciples practicing Krishna consciousness should obediently follow the regulative principles and remain fixed in chanting the holy name of the Lord. Then there need be no fear. Otherwise, one's position is very dangerous, especially in this Kali Yuga. So this underlying principle is they're not catching what's happening here. The Yamadutas is that the principle is devotion. That's the only string that there really is. It means piety sets one in a very good position, but it's not enough to keep one from giving up piety. Just because you have piety, it's not enough to keep you from losing it, right? Because the material world is designed that one is interested in sense gratification, whether it's nice sense gratification or not nice. That's the whole point of the material world, is that being designed like that, then there's nothing from the material platform that you can conquer it by. You can't elevate yourself beyond being pious. And once you get up to the pious platform, now what are you going to do? Right? So Krishna consciousness is the only thing that's beyond piety. And so having Krishna consciousness, that can take you beyond the difficulties of the material world and nothing else. That there's no other thing. So if someone complains, oh, he's falling down, this is what the Yamadutas are saying. Oh, he was a perfect Brahmin, he fell down from that, he's a nonsense, he deserves to be punished. So, fine. But the point is only Krishna consciousness can take one beyond this, and only a devotee could get by this. A perfect Brahmin, it's not enough. That's why it's described this way. He is a perfect Brahmin. It's not enough to control the senses. Right? One has to have Krishna consciousness. It's the only thing that goes beyond, because then you're dealing with the nature of the soul. You're dealing with the nature of the conditioning. Conditioning is conditioning. My mode of goodness, even on the best platform in the material world, still means this passion and ignorance. So passion means desire. Ignorance means foolishness. So no matter how well you're situated in goodness, there's always some foolishness, some desire. So on the material platform, one cannot, therefore, successfully overcome these things. Right? So that's the point that will come up. So it's only when one takes up that process in association under the direction of the spiritual master, that gives the strength that you can get by these things, because these things aren't important. In the material world, these things are important. Even if you're pious, sense gratification is important. But it's only for the devotee that sense gratification is not important. Right? Sense gratification is there, but it's connected to Krishna. That way you can get beyond. But even the most pious person cannot go beyond doing something wrong unless they're connected with Krishna consciousness. So that's the point that's coming out here. So Prabhupada's pointing out, in Kali Yuga, things are very difficult because you have people that don't worry. Means, what's happening here? This Shudra and this prostitute, they're interested in enjoyment, and they've come to a point in their enjoyment. They just don't care. Right? So now, from the modern standpoint, it sounds very good. Yes, it's their right. They can do what they like. Everyone has the right to enjoy themselves, right? Life, liberty, and the pursuit of sense gratification, right? See, inherent, God-given, rights, but
unalienable.
Yes, they can't even send you to another planet for this. They have to leave you here, right? Even though they'd love to, right? The guy's a schmo, send it to another planet. That would be good, right? But he has to stay here. So, an alien. Yes, so then, but the point is, yes, they can enjoy whatever they like, but go somewhere where it doesn't bother anybody else. Do whatever you like. You know, you're the king of your own castle, like that. But out on the street, that's public area. You can't do what you like. You have responsibility. So this modern concept, no, everybody can do, we're out on the street, it's our right. Who said it's your right? Who said? It sounds good. A bunch of idiots get together and say, yeah, this is what we're going to do. Does that make it right? 2 and 2 is 5. Yeah, 2 and 2 is 5. Yeah, let's find a petition. 2 and 2 is 5. Yeah, let's give it to the government. We want this through. March on Washington, right? 500,000 people. 2 and 2 is 5. Does it make it any different? No. But because the emotion, the feelings, it's something in my life that I finally have to do, because I'm not God conscious, so I have zero in my life. My life is completely a waste, and now I have something to fight for. So, that's the problem. So, here they are, shamelessly. There's stuff's going on at any time. It's not that, oh, this is different, we're in a different age, it's different. No, all it is it's different. There's more shameless people, that's all. In the previous age, there were less of them. They were always there. There's always, whatever is going on now has always been going on. But it's just, it's a less people. And now there's more people doing it. So in Satyayuga, more people are pious, less people are impious. This age is more impious and less people are pious. Same thing, same old, same old. There's nothing new. It's not like it's special and all that. So Prabhupada's pointing out is this age, it's just the way it is. And it's going to be like that. So the only way we can actually conquer over it and maintain standards is by the grace of Krishna, by being Krishna conscious, by chanting Hare Krishna. It's the only thing. There isn't another method. Right? Because in the Vedic age, they have all these methods. But applying them makes for a nice environment, but it's still, when push comes to shove, then there's a problem. So that's Prabhupada's point here. It's dangerous otherwise, because it's Kali Yuga. It is a dangerous age. Things are crazy. So the only way to protect oneself is by the devotional process. So that we'll see, because up to now, this is all being discussed by the Yamadutas. Right? So they understand about the Lord, being trained in the position of understanding the Lord, all these things. But what are they missing? They're missing that pure devotion is the only real pious activity. That's what they're missing. So they're thinking that, okay, they've been trained in the Lord, they're worshiping the Lord, and all these things are there, but there's something wrong, so therefore their punishment is actually what's going to make it work. It's going to now make the person, bring them to Krishna consciousness. It's going to improve, but only Krishna consciousness can improve Krishna consciousness. That will be the point that will come up. Any questions or comments on this? Yes.
Maharaj, isn't it that the idea of a prison house is?
A idea of a prison house.
Is to reform and put in the prison house for reformation also. So is Yamadutas trying to punish them as your last sentence of the thing?
Yes, but reforming who? Who does it reform? But the living entity, so by being in the prison, okay, it's just like this. By living in a cell that has three walls, one side's open, right? Get good ventilation. Everything that you deal with is, industrial class stainless steel, because otherwise some idiot's going to break it. You always have to worry about toothbrushes in people's pockets because, they may poke it into you. And the food is terrible. And that's going to increase bhakti. You understand? Those things are there just because when you're dealing on the material platform, people think materially. So therefore, they must get a response material. I did this work, I get this result. Right? So I did the work, I worked all week, it's my money. So we would call that pious. The guy worked. He did his honest job. He did what he's supposed to. At the end of the week, he gets paid. It's his money. That's good, right? But is that enough? Will that get him out of the prison? You only get out if it's Krishna's money. You understand? So, for people who think this is my money, therefore, if someone messes up, then there is the punishment. Because what's the point? No one's complaining when everything goes right. Like, you go home, things go fabulous, money's coming in, everybody's doing what you want, you're respected, you're leading in the community, everything materially is fabulous. Are we turning to Krishna and go, Krishna, why do I have to go through this? Why am I subjected to so much pious results? Why materially is everything so fabulous? Why am I so happy? Right? That's why everybody's standing before the deity, they're offering prayers like that. Right? Right? So then what happens? It's only when you go home. There isn't a thing with the money. People don't respect. It's not working in the community. The relationships are breaking down. Then we go, Krishna, what's going on here? Why is this happening to me? Okay, let it happen to my neighbor, but why me? Does that make sense? So, because of that, then the concept of punishment has some meaning. Because we think action and reaction is in our control, so therefore I do something right, it's mine, I do something wrong. Therefore, if I get caught, okay, if I'm punished, that's okay. But if someone else gets caught, they definitely have to be punished. You understand? But when we understand it's all about Krishna, then the only solution is God consciousness. Because you can punish all you like, and people may be a little bit more restrained, may not be. Maybe, may not be. So then, but the only reformation is really going to be God consciousness. That's the thing that the Vishnu Dutas are going to point out. Because the Yamadutas are thinking in the same. You do good work, you get good results. You do bad work, you get punished. That's because the good work's mine, the bad work is also unfortunately mine, only because someone can connect it to me. If they can't connect it, then hey. Does that make sense? How does the three modes of nature have anything to do with the soul? No, I'm just saying, how what's the connection?
Aren't we only under some mode or the other?
Yeah, but what's under the modes? The soul's under the modes, or the mind, gross and subtle body? Right? You know, you have a, you know, let's say we have a pig, okay? Okay, now that's some serious modes of nature. Now if we get out a stick and we come out and, you know, well, let's say we get out all of our medieval equipment, okay, and take this pig to task. Now are we going to see him elevated in consciousness? No. Wait a minute. You know, during the Inquisition, did you see people suddenly rising up to the mode of goodness and that? No. So then, the point is unless the soul takes to God consciousness, that's the only thing that will reform the soul. The other thing is, these elements are there because you're dealing with conditioned nature, it's for conditioned nature. Even if it improves the conditioned nature, even if he comes up to goodness, Ajamiya was a perfect example of the mode of goodness. It would be hard to find a Brahmin like this. But there are, but it would be hard to find one, right? Okay. So now, did it work? No. So that's the whole point. That's the confusion of the Yamadutas. Yamadutas basically are thinking like everybody thinks. Is that there's some real value in material punishment. Because, why? Because there's real value in material profit. People that get up in arms about punishment are also the same people that are always talking about profit. They go together. You can't have one without the other. You know what I'm saying? So those who value profit the most, position, power, authority, they're the ones that talk about punishment the most. They go together, sadly. So that just keeps you in the material world. Just because you're a nice guy, but you're a nice guy here. And as we see by Ajamil, you don't necessarily stay a nice guy too long. Right? So, you understand? So that's the thing, is being nice, being not nice, all that's overrated. Being devotee, now that's something serious. That doesn't mean we don't care about these things, because the point is who makes the rules anyway? Who makes the rules stealing is bad? We make it or God makes it? You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? But you know, so that's the whole point, is that we even forget that our concept of good and bad and all these things and elevation and degradation, these also are coming from Krishna. We're not making them up. Does that make sense? So we're trying to go beyond staying in the material world. That's the whole idea, is that, yes, means socially, unless there are these rules and that, how do you function if people don't follow rules? You have to have the rules followed, right? But the point is the following the rules, unless they culminate in Krishna consciousness, there's no point. It's not that the rules themselves have a value in themselves. That's the That's what's trying to be gained here. That distinction. Because we're so used to good and bad and getting benefit from good and bad and all these things. That's what we, since time immemorial, that's what we've dealt with. So this concept of devotion, that's a new thing. Right? And so it goes beyond the material. That if you want to reform somebody, you have to put him in a more Krishna conscious environment. Right? If you don't put him in a more Krishna conscious environment, what have you actually done? And even if you want to do some reformatory activity on the material platform, who's the authority of that? It's just what I feel like? No, you have to do according to Manu. You have faith in the mundane, then Manu is your man. And if you don't use Manu and you're not putting someone in a more Krishna conscious environment, then what is that? That's mental speculation. It's simply your own desire. And since when is your desire is more important than their desire? Their desire is sinful, your desire is perfectly pious. How does this work? You understand? That's the problem. Is that as soon as we unleash this thing, is that we don't have to follow the rules. And it's my rights, I can do what I want. We unleash this monster of whatever people feel like, that becomes truth and reality. And if you follow that, all you have to do is read European history. How did that work out? You know what I'm saying? I was just talking the other day with one boy. Somehow in my mind, it just popped the name, I think it was Vasco da Gama, right? Out of nowhere, I don't know. And this boy happened to be from South America, right? So I ask him, okay, I know what in history books what they say about Vasco da Gama in my book. What do they say in your country about him? Because in our book he's an explorer, you know, this, bringing back wealth and knowledge and expanding, you know, all good stuff, right? From his country, then he's the guy that came in, killed the local natives, that's why there's hardly any natives anymore, and stole everything that they could get their hands on. So they you know what I'm saying? So how does this work? I say he's great, the other guy says he's not. So that's what you're dealing with. If you're not basing it on the Vedic principles, there's no difference here. That's the level we're working at, animals. So whichever animal has support, is more powerful, has other people behind them, that's the way it goes. That's the modern concept. Right? I say, one guy says, this is right. But he's only one guy. Who cares? But now if that guy can get together 500,000 people to march on Washington, okay, then we care. So it's simply volume. It has nothing to do. I have $1. So what? I have $1,000,000. Okay, let's talk. Does that make sense? So this also in the West goes historically back to the Ionians, Greeks, right? You know, so like that. They're the basis of the Western civilization, right? That's at least how the history tells us. So the Ionians, their thing is it's all relative. People say it's truth, and if they say it's false. That was the discussion. That's what Western culture is based on. And then we'll stand up and say this and that and all these things based on this, and then we think we're Krishna consciously, right? Do you understand? So the point is if you don't know what is law, how can you make a statement? It's just like, let's say, you go down to your car is being fixed, right? And the mechanic is there doing his work and all that. And everybody stands around and everybody pontificates about you should do this, what about that? Yeah, this and that. And the guy's just sitting there thinking, when will these guys go away and let me do my work? Right? So that's the thing. Now, if it's another mechanic, then he can say, you're doing this, but if you do that, you know, then you probably have the crankcase fall on you and get all kinds of oil on it, you know, like that. But hey, it's your life. You know, then it's like something to listen to. So if you don't know law, what's the meaning of the discussion? Because if you're talking about punishment, you're talking about law. Does that make sense? So unless you know law, what's the meaning? Just like everybody can tell you how to make money, who makes money? Does that guy or any of his friends make money? No, but they have something to say. The guy who's making money is too busy making money to talk, you know. He's not going to waste his time. Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's the whole point, is that opinions are popular, but reality is something else. So, and we're talking about then, you know, there's opinions, there's knowledge, and then there's transcendence. So we're wrestling with the concept of just getting up to the platform of knowledge, let alone transcendence. Does that work? So in other words, there's much more to think about. It's a bigger picture, right? Because generally speaking, most of the time, our own personal emotions don't necessarily accommodate a wide range of considerations. But unless you consider all that, then you really can't make a judgment. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Yes.
My last question, we heard many lectures about the cause why
Hare Krishna. We heard many lectures now about the cause why Ajamil was kind of not taken to hell directly. So some devotees have said because he once chanted the holy name. Other devotees said because he was during 2 years chanting the holy name. And
you want to know if it was once or up to two years? Actually, it's once you cross 6 months, you know, 3 days and 9 hours, then that's when it really gets.
No, my question is, if he would have chanted in Namaparad or Namabas or Shudanam, does it really matter? I mean, Krishna is like independent. He can maybe...
The point is, we're taking justice and going to hell and going to heaven as a very major thing. Therefore, that's where the confusion comes up. It's like this. You have a nice dream or you have a bad dream. Okay, you know, the nice dreams are better, the bad dreams are worse. But do they actually have any meaning in reality? No. So therefore, this whole thing of is it Namabas, is it Shudanam, is it this and that, all that discussion doesn't matter. Because we're only talking about being freed from hell. That's not a big deal. I mean, if you're coming from a background where you're talking about eternal damnation and all stuff like that, okay, maybe it's a big deal. But it's only a big deal because of your conditioning. But as far as the soul goes, unless it comes to the platform of the soul, of transcendence, it's illusion. It doesn't have any substance. What is the substance? The substance, yeah, it doesn't have substance. Does that make sense? So we're discussing these points of whether it's Namabas. It's all it is saving you from hell. Namabas will do that fine. See, when we value liberation, then we'll say, how is this possible? Like, what was it? Gopal Chapala, was that the one? Yeah. The goal is liberation. So when Haridas Thakur says, just by Namabas, you can get liberation. We're talking about liberation here, not even just getting out of hell. We're talking about you can get liberation with that same chanting. If you value that, then it's a big deal. Just like if you value, you know, karma, then punishment is very important to you. If someone's into liberation punishment, they couldn't care less about, because what's it going to do for you? You're still in the material world. Whether you're in hell or not in hell, you're still in the material world. They want to get out. But someone who wants to be in the material world, then I'm situated nicely. The other people can't come in. You know, we're saying he has to be punished. Then we're saying, why is it everybody can't come into this 5-star hotel? It's the same thing. You got the piety, you get in. You don't have the piety, you don't. It's exactly the same thing. And then we sit there and then say, this is nice and ideal, but what about this? It's the same. It's so contradictory, it's annoying. You know what I'm saying? On one side, we're saying, no, everybody is equal, everybody this, everybody has free will and rights and everything. At the same time, as we restrict like anything, this guy has to be punished. Why? Because he's going against our ideals of free will and equity, fraternity, liberty, all these kind of jazz. So he must be punished. But if it's for everyone, then what's what? How does that work? So it's very, very, it's not objective at all. Only Vedic is objective. It's not Vedic, it's not objective. There may be some truth in it from their own experience and like that. Rare cases you find, individuals who have nice realization. But that's not coming from modern culture. That's coming from their own efforts. Does this make sense? Yeah. So the point is liberation. That's what Nama Bas gives. So for us, what's of value is bhakti. Nama Bas will not give you bhakti. That's the whole point. But because it gives you liberation and frees you from hell, we're thinking, wow, how is this? That's because we don't value bhakti. If we value bhakti, it's like, so what? Yeah, of course. That's just side stuff. You know, I'm serving you lunch. Do you need to ask if you're going to get a plate? Okay, you grow up in an environment where no one has a plate, then it's a concern to you. But in normal culture, of course you get a plate. So therefore, in standard culture, then freedom from hell, liberation, these coming as a side thing of the holy name, what's the big deal? Of course they come like that. You know? Does that make sense? So that's why so much discussion over, you know, well, what quality of the name and how much does he get? That's not important, because this is only the removing negative. Nama Basa removed negative, but only Shuddhanam will give you positive, which is prema. Does that make sense? Yeah. So we have to be careful and not fall into the same trap that these others fall into. You understand? Because we value karma or we value gyan, okay? So now what we had is these two questions have been on that. Does that make sense? But what about the karma? No, okay, so that didn't work. What about the gyan? You know, you understand? The point is bhakti is beyond both. That's what's special. So he chanted, and by that he got freed from an unfortunate situation. But it's not developing his prema, as we'll see later. He goes, lives in a temple, very quickly establishes himself in Nishta Bhakti, right? From there he gets Ruchi, then Asakti, then comes to the platform of Bhava, right? Does that make sense? So that is coming from devotion, direct conscious devotional service. But this unconscious stuff, that'll free you from hell, free you from all kinds of jazz. Does that make sense? That's just side stuff. You know, it's like you, let's say you buy some rice. It comes with a plastic bag. You know what I'm saying? But you know, are you going there and when you're going buying the rice, checking the quality of the plastic bag? So I'm going to buy this one. It has a better quality plastic bag. No, but that rice isn't very good. No, but it's about the bag. Check the bag out. I mean, look at that bag. Is that? Yeah. So therefore, being freed, how you're freed, this, that, who cares? Bhakti, now that's something special. Does that make sense? So we have to be very careful not that we don't get distracted. Because that's why we're here. We've been distracted for a while. Okay. Yes.
Maharaj, can I ask a little bit of an offbeat question?
Offbeat. But you never ask offbeat questions. What's different today?
This past time, about you know very much, because one question I always have in my mind is that Ajamil was like in his 80s when he conceived Narayana.
88. Oh, actually 86. He was 88 when it happened.
And it's always mentioned that he took this Sudrani as his wife, but does not mention his second wife. And I always wonder, how the hell did she?
Oh, I see. So you weren't worried about how does he conceive at that age? It's about her. Yeah, yeah, okay, yeah, okay, yeah, you know. It just depends upon what's the nature of the people, because I remember we had a headmaster. They're from a particular Bengali Brahmin family. And in that family, then they would have, that means they would have kids quite late. He was born when his father was 80. And he remembers as a kid seeing his grandfather, who was 120. So they're extremely long-lived and like this. So you do have people like that.
In the Bible, it's like that. Moses is having children with Sarah, 100
years old. Yeah, so I mean, you do have individuals like that. So that's why I need the name Ajamil. Someone once mentioned in Sanskrit, it means that which has never happened before and will never happen again. Right, so, you know, okay, you got one case, okay, it works. Okay, well, try. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivrinda ki, Jainatai Gaur Premanandi.
Oh, yeah.